I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. My guest today is Elliot Popkin, award-winning singer-songwriter, personal development coach, and author of Circle, Letters to My Younger Self. It was such a pleasure to chat with Elliot about overcoming many life obstacles to uncover his authentic self. We both agreed that rewriting our narrative can take a long time and to not give up, even if you're stumbling over and over. My conversation with Elliot highlighted my own journey to manage pain and anxiety, and it reminded me that we never know what others are going through, that our neighbors, friends, coworkers might have personal struggles. So be kind and don't judge others, because that's really important. We're all just trying to right ourselves, to have a good life, and to find our value and purpose along the way. That's what this conversation made me think of. And I certainly believe that Elliot's story and book are going to touch the hearts of many. Please welcome Elliot Popkin. Well, it's good to see you today, Elliot. I'm so glad you're here to talk on Dreams and Detours.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to get right away into this new book that you've written called Circle, Letters to My Younger Self. I know that, you know, we often, as we get to a certain stage in our life, can reflect back, and whether it's to continue to deal with hurdles that maybe are continuous and mounting, or it's just a great self-reflection to be able to sort of put all of our puzzle pieces together in life. You've certainly done that. And while I've yet to get my hands on this wonderful piece that you've put together, I do want to talk about it because I think it's really important to self-reflect, number one, and share, number two. Like, I think those are critical components in our lives. And if the more we can do it, I feel like the better of a life and peacefulness that we have. So I'm going to let you get busy starting with why, how, and where this all came about and why you felt it was so important to do.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Susan. So Circle is a book about my life. I am someone who, my father was an addict, and was physically abusive to me for most of my childhood. And then my mom passed, she had cancer. She passed when I was 15. So just a lot of those inspiring and loving lessons that we would get in life as children, I did feel like I missed out on a lot or was just behind in that sense. So as a young adult, you know, studying songwriting and being excited about being in the music industry, I sabotaged so many opportunities, and it was very difficult for me to trust people and build relationships. And so what the book's about is, at the end, it's an autobiography. At the end of each chapter, I write a letter to that version of myself, telling that version everything I would have wanted to hear at the time.
That's
so
brilliant.
It's kind of like, oh, thank you. Yeah. So it's like a reframing, trying to go back and just forgive those moments where I felt like, oh, I wish I knew better. I should have known better. And the reality is, for, well, I'll only speak for me, but I didn't know better. The moment we do know better, that's when we can take responsibility. So the book was written as a younger adult. I just crash and burn so many times. And so it was literally, I think, my second third car repossession. It took me quite a few times to learn that process.
Sure, right.
So I'm walking home from the bus, because that's what you do when your car gets repoed. And I'm walking home and I was like, I feel like if I make money again, I'm just going to make another mistake with it. And that was kind of the moment that inspired the book. And I think great art can come from just those moments of life where we feel like we're just trudging through. And then I finally was surrendered enough in life to just be like, I mean, God, did I have to lose everything?
Let me ask you a question. So that's an interesting statement that you're making. You're feeling like you're losing everything. You're feeling like if you make money again, that you already said you don't trust yourself to make good decisions with that money. Did you feel like you were even sabotaging your next success then? It was almost like, why bother? Because to make the money would mean to put myself in another position of possibly losing everything. Did that like register for you also?
Great question. I feel like I sabotaged over and over again.
Yeah. Like it was just until, that repetitive routine. Yeah.
So repetitive until that moment where I was like, God, did I have to lose everything to focus on you? And God's like, well, did you? And I was like, I didn't know God sounds like that. You know, because I thought it'd be this big booming, my son, I'm here to help you shine. And so to know that, you know, the voice of God or the universe, whatever works for people, however you want to refer to it, just to know that it's just so honest and simple and direct. And I just thought, oh my God, I just get to try again and I can choose to be different. And that's what most of the book I wrote in 4 days, it just flowed.
Right. When it happens, it just happens. It bubbles up. And I just want to tell you, I can really appreciate what early adulthood sabotage looks like, and not being equipped with a great foundation or the emotional intelligence that really guides us when we are fortified with it at the time of our young selves, when we should be getting it, right? That parental love, the guidance, the support, the safety, and that feeling of being safe. I understand that personally. And so like you, I can really appreciate what that feels like to sort of like always be stumbling. You're like, but wait a minute, why am I stumbling? Like, what's going on here? So yeah, it's really important to, well, to share, right? Because I feel like that's a story that continues for people today. And we want to almost assure them like to hang in there because there's more.
Yeah. I mean, if I can help anyone just save a good 5, 10, 15 years, off of the moments in life where they're struggling, that would be amazing to me. I mean, I'm at that point in my life now. I just turned 50 about
2 months
ago. Yeah, half a century. My goodness. And so I just realized, you know, for many years, I think when we're in that victim mentality, when we're just really struggling in life, we're just like, why do these crazy things keep happening to me? And what I'm realizing today is apparently I'm a bit of a slow learner in certain areas of life, but that it was for me to walk through it and be able to tell people that, you know, you don't have to be defined by your past for your entire life. For me, writing the book was really an opportunity. Can I finally feel like, can I know what freedom feels like? Because I didn't feel that. And so I'm happy to say that I have a glimpse of what that is. And it's really wonderful.
And it's really wonderful for you to say it with so much optimism and joy, because I'll tell you what, it could be just as easy for someone to feel resentful to get that lesson so late, or for them to think that it's too late in any sense. And how brilliant that you not only figured out how to surrender and how to have that joy, but you're enjoying it, it sounds like. And creating, right? And you're an artist, so you're creating still, hence you wrote the book. You're just dropped a new song, which we'll talk about as well. And there's beauty all in that. I mean, that's what you worked your butt off for. So
yes, thank you. And I think it's this idea in life where we realize all I have to do is not quit. And so I mean, there were moments when I was on public assistance and sleeping on a friend's couch and sleeping in my car. And I just remember one day it was pouring rain, which it never does in Los Angeles, pouring rain. And I'm walking to a bus and I just thought, oh my God, all I have to do is just keep walking and get to this bus. I think those are the moments that remind me, you're right. Like you could easily have the perspective of just, well, I'm just going to be this angry person for the rest of my life. And I'm here to say that didn't work at all. And so to just begin this process of, here's how I describe it to people, because I have this mathematical, being a musician, part of my brain that, like, let's say the average kid every day will get 5 to 10 times a day, their parents will be like, I love you, we're so proud of you, and, or give a hug or a physical demonstration of affection or affirmation. And if you get 10 of those a day over the course of like 15 years of childhood, you might have received positive affirmations, what, 18, 20,000 times. So the fact that I didn't, the first time my dad said he loved me, I was 27. And at the time I was like, I don't know if I can believe this, but that was his effort coming from the place where he came from with his own challenges and demons in life. And so this idea of walking now gracefully in life and reparenting ourselves, we have to do it with so much patience and love for ourselves, because I can't expect to get the lessons in 3 to 6 months that I didn't get over the course of 15 years. That's not even fair to myself today.
Exactly.
So in that sense, it's taking kind of even longer, but still worth it. I'd rather just be on this road.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that you're totally right. I mean, patience is so important, because when we don't have the right messaging, and not just not having the right messaging, but having some negative messaging attached also, that just goes into our bodies. It lives in there. And there's a certain like home for those feelings and those experiences.
Yes.
And so even when we can start to intellectualize the deficits that we experience, okay, I didn't get this, or I didn't have that, that's one part of the equation of healing and surrendering. But the other part of it is dealing with the physical, and people do not understand or realize, and it's fair that they might not, that there's this whole other physical component that rules your body and your brain, and they can really help emerge the anger or the negativity that and the bad habits that one might have. And so that's the other part of the healing that comes, you know, later for people, because they think that they're done when they can intellectualize and finally come to an emotional agreement or a confrontation with past occurrences or abuses or whatever has occurred. But then you actually have to turn into a nice person who treats themselves well, who loves themselves. And that comes when you can harness the fact that you can be triggered, and that trigger can do crazy things. And well, just a little bit more to deal and dig into, right?
That's so interesting. And I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I feel like today in my life, I learned that when things do pop up into my life, that they're more of a test, like God or the universe is seeing, how is Ellie going to deal with this today? And I've learned this amazing thing called a pause, where I just, for 15 minutes, if it's anything remotely challenging, I just will not respond. Because my first natural inclination, that, you know, just protecting myself reaction, is not going to be the most graceful thing in the universe. And so it's amazing how much just breathing for 15 minutes can just add at least levels to grace. I mean, they still might get a, you know, I mean, I'm from Boston. It's like,
you're allowed, you know, to react.
It's still there. Right. I know, I joke with my friends, like most of my friends here, because I live in California now, most of my friends are from the East Coast. So they totally understand, like, uh-oh, right. You know, but
I get it.
But there's a way to really like love and protect yourself and respond in a way where you can just be calm and say, actually, that's not okay with me. And here's why.
Right.
And that's actually even more empowering to do today. And so I think that's what, you know, this process of finally having the courage to look at my past and my demons and to just be honest about it. Because I think this is common for kids that were abused. It sounds so inappropriate to people, but you do definitely blame yourself. Like, if I could just be a better kid,
sure,
maybe this wouldn't have happened. And you have no idea what your parents went through to get them to the place in their lives where they would choose to do that to someone else. But so there's a lot of blaming yourself, and to begin the process of just healing that and getting past that, that really helps with the way I react to other things today.
Yeah. And it's all about setting boundaries, right? I mean, that's what it really is. Your boundaries are violated. You didn't really learn how to set boundaries because those were not, you didn't have that someone modeling that for you. And so yeah, a lot of it is about, okay, like when you said stopping and pausing, you know, that's a cooling off moment so that you can actually be intentional about your reaction to something. Even if you're still allowed to be pissed. Of course you are. I mean, look, I'm from New York, so we're pissed about everything, or at least we, yes, sound like we're pissed about everything. We're really not. But the thing is, it is important to pause, because you want to have, you don't want to react. You want to have an intentional response to things. You want it to be, you want to set your boundaries. Like, what's really not working for me here? Or what is working for me here? And how do I convey that in my response to you? And that's all about really taking yourself into consideration and exercising that self-love you've discovered and really employing it, right, in all ways possible. And so, yeah, I think when children are young and they are not shown that kind of respect, then they don't understand how to self-respect. And so
yes,
it really comes hand in hand with it. So
Yeah,
it's tricky. It's tricky, but I'm glad that you were able to come out of it, even if it took you, you know, however long it took you. Everybody, it's like rhythm. It belongs to you. It's your own, and you come into it the way that you need to. But more importantly, sending the message out in a way that allows young people, even if someone who's like 35 right now, still struggling to make sense of things themselves, someone who's of self-sabotage. this is a really good read and a really important story to hear because there's like a lot of tricky things going on for someone who's probably getting really tired of themselves in that way.
Yeah. I mean, that was the moment for me when I just was so sick and tired of things not working out and happening the same thing and not even knowing enough in the moment that those were patterns that I created and co-signed. But I've heard from people that have already read the book and been inspired by it, that it just helped them look at their own lives like, whoa.
Yeah.
So if I could talk to myself at 11 years old or at 19, what would I possibly say? And that's really wonderful to hear from people.
That's awesome. So do you ever think about having like doing a lecture at a school or a camp or someplace where kids are congregated in group fashion? And do you think that would be something of interest? Like, I'm just immediately for some reason thinking like, wow, what a tremendous benefit it could be to be in front of an auditorium or an audience of young people who, you know, may see themselves in your story. That's all.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I would love to start speaking to groups about it. I mean, yeah. I think at the point that people hear this, the world will have opened up.
That's it.
Officially. But, you know, my background is in the music industry. So I typically, you know, if releasing an album, we're going to go on tour and we're going to get press. And so with the book, it technically was a very soft launch because I couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
So now that fact that I can speak to book clubs and groups of both adults and children, I think that I've been wanting to be able to start to do that. So that's very exciting to me.
Yeah, no, this is brilliant. I think, again, like now that the world is opening, we'll have the opportunity to see people perform and to actually attend all sorts of book launches or what have you. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to feel like we've gotten beyond the 15 months that we all have just experienced. So,
yes, sure. Indeed.
So then let's talk a little bit about your music career, because I know that you have that as well. And you're an artist. And so you're creating in a variety of ways. And so what's on the horizon for you? Like, what's next for you there?
Yeah. So my new single is called Running. That just got released.
Beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I've already listened. Yeah. I've already downloaded. Yep.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So Running, that came out June 3rd. Yes. So it was my highest debut ever of my career. It debuted at number 29 on iTunes, which I was just so pleasantly surprised.
Super.
The music, it really ties into what we were just talking about with the book, of just about being comfortable in your own skin. I think for me, initially in the music industry, I felt as though they just kept trying to put me into a box. Like, could you just be more pop like John Mayer? Can you just lose some weight? Can you just fit into this vision we have for you? I never fit into anyone.
Because we only fit in our own skin.
Let me tell you. So that's what I finally realized with music, that like, if I'm going to do it now at this point in my career, I'm going to write exactly the types of songs. Because throughout my career, I've been compared to people like James Taylor and Tracy Chapman and India Ari, Mary Chapin Carpenter, just these singer-songwriters just telling their own stories. And I just thought, I'm just going to be the best Elliot I can be and let the chips fall where they may. And so I think for any artist, that's the most powerful advice I would give to any younger artists or even those people reading the book, like just be the best version of yourself that you can be. And so in that sense, it's even sweeter that, you know, Running debuted the highest, because it's just purely just me writing the music I've always wanted to.
And isn't that great? Because my next question was going to be, you know, how did writing this book influence your music and the singer-songwriter in you? But clearly it has really made you blossom in a way that, not to suggest that your previous work wasn't all that, but I have to believe that something else emerged for you, because you're your most authentic self now. You're your most comfortable self now. And the weights that you might have been carrying while even slowly releasing really are off of you, it seems. And so no doubt that changed your artistry altogether, would it not?
Big time. You know, in the book, I talk about one song I wrote was actually called The Letter, and it's a letter I wrote to my dad. So the book inspired that letter, which was very hard to write and very healing and cathartic at the same time. And so once I wrote that song, because it was just so honest, it really inspired me to just realize, well, why not just be as honest and authentic in everything I do? Like, what's the, once you have this moment of freedom, what's really holding you back anymore?
Nothing.
And so, yeah.
Because you don't look back anymore, because you look forward, you know, and you envision your life and all the things that you would like to have and see coming at you, as opposed to before what maybe hindered you.
Yes. Yeah. And so with that, I'm even enjoying just the process of being an artist and an author now so much more, just because I feel like I'm really showing up to it now.
I bet that has to be like pure joy, like on a level clearly that, you know, you don't know again until you release anything that's holding you back. Yeah, I think that's so super. And I think there's a lot to watch now. I mean, there's a lot to be seen, and, you know, I can't wait to see what really comes next. Not that it's pressure, but I feel like you had written your book in this, not that you did it with immediacy for a deadline purpose, but because it was flowing out of you. Like once you release yourself and the floodgates open, you know, you can just find yourself putting it all out there. And so I don't doubt that you'll find in your music, you might see some of that also free flowing for you. So that's pretty cool.
I received that. Yes.
You're like, all righty.
Yes.
Come at me.
Bring that on. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. It's good. I like to talk to people who have experienced their own getting out of their own way, let's say, whether it's a deeper sense of needing to have introspection and healing, or just simply, you know, some people are just kind of foolish and kind of crazy and they just need to get out of their own way. But it's really important to be able to talk about that, because one of the things that I noticed and what I realized is that more people are having that kind of an experience than we realize. It doesn't matter whether we realize we're alone or not. I mean, sometimes it really matters to know we're not alone, but it's not only that detail. I think it's more important to share the story, because we dilute the shame that comes with it. It's not always that we think we're alone. It's also that we have to dilute any sense of like being vulnerable with the world or trust issues like you might've had in your case and you mentioned. I think that's the part that's so important. And that's why we want to share stories. And that's why I have this podcast, to be honest. It's the only reason. I just want people to find themselves in other people's stories, to affirm or to make them feel like, yeah, okay, I can do that. Or, oh yeah, I did that. And boy, it's nice to hear someone else going through a similar experience. So,
well, Susan, thank you for doing the podcast, because that's so powerful. I think, and I remember I talk about this in the book. I used to be one of those people, when anyone would ask me anything, how are you? How are things going? Like when you could clearly, you know, I think when we're struggling, we try to hide the struggle just from pride and ego. But I would always just say, I'm fine. And oh my God,
you were so not fine.
I was so not fine.
Yeah.
And then but when we can be honest about our challenges or struggles, and realizing that that can be empowering to others who just realize, oh my God, I'm not alone. Like, he had a car repossession. He was on public assistance. You know, he had challenges with his family in the past and that, and yet he just seems so much at peace today. Yeah. I think once we can realize all the ways in life that we are actually more connected to each other, that's what's so powerful.
That's it. That's it right there. It's the connection. And I love that. And I think, highlighting that we do not exist in spite of each other. We exist because of one another.
Ooh.
That is the whole point. That pops into my head often. And I always see myself, I'm like, my goodness. I'm like, what you do affects me, what I do affects you. Like, we're either going to spread love and joy, or we're going to spread some hate. And we all know what it feels like to be in a room with someone who's angry or who's, you know, pushing that negativity at us. I mean, we all want out, you know, whether it's a bad boss or a bad partner or just a bad friend or whomever. We know what it feels like to not want to be in that space and want out. And so I always say, well, the choice is yours. We can bring love and compassion into the space, and we can all really enjoy ourselves and laugh until the sun rises, or we'll be constantly looking for the exit door, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah, your choice, but awesome.
And this literally just came up yesterday. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because we talked a moment ago about, you know, that you'll still be presented in life with these challenges. Just yesterday, I had to let go of a business working relationship that just wasn't working for me on a variety of levels. And I was respectful enough to just tell the person, hey, this isn't working. This isn't working. You know, you want to give people some type of time. And then what happens still is we're proud of ourselves. Like, look at us. We set that boundary. We're good. And then there's a smaller part of ourselves that just feels like, oh wow, I wish it would have worked out. I just wish I could have been better in some way so it would have worked out. And, you know, should I go back to that situation? And it's just like, no.
That's the people pleaser in you. You want to be able to be what somebody else wants you to be, but this time you honored yourself and you were like, I'm going to explain why this may not be working, or at least make you feel comfortable about why I'm pulling out of the situation, which actually, when you're involved in a dynamic with somebody, whether it's a friendship or a business arrangement, if you've entered into it, then the agreement should be that you gracefully know how to exit it, right? But you honored yourself this time. And that's, you know, it even at 50, it's still something to get used to.
Yes.
It is. And it's kind of cool. I know that too. I mean, I will tell you, I kind of have some similar aspects of my early life. And, you know, I think that even with learning throughout my adult life, I can just tell you that it doesn't ever 100% go away, the consciousness of it all. I think it's probably a good thing that that's true, because it keeps you right where you want to now be, the new version, you know, and you get more used to it, but you always seem to be a conscious of the decisions you're making and the why, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. It's pretty cool. So I'm glad we got to talk today, and I'm excited to, I am going to have your book in my hands momentarily. I know that it's on way to me, but I look forward to reading it and really sharing it, because, this is the work that I enjoy doing, kind of working with others to get them into a mindset and into a more of a healing pathway. And so I feel like your book is also going to be a really super tool to use. So I thank you in advance.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I received that. I've already been told that people are going to use it in, you know, group settings and just to help people expand and let go of any limitations. And so happy and appreciative of all of your listeners. We're going to offer them a coupon code so they can get a nice discount too.
Awesome. We love that. And make sure anyone listening, I'm going to make sure that all of that information is in the show notes and posted wherever you see the podcast and listen to the podcast. You'll have access to that link to ensure that you could get it. And then while the listeners cannot see the book yet, unless they're looking it up, I love your cover. It looks like there's crystals around. Am I right about that? It's a crystal circle. I'm a crystal fan myself, so, you know, it might be sea glass though. So I couldn't tell if it was sea glass or not.
Yeah. So here's the story behind that. So it is, it's broken pieces of glass.
Okay.
And certain pieces are bigger than others and certain pieces are further away from others. And so this is just my artist mind. So my vision was, when we're growing in life, we don't always know how far the next leap is going to be. We know we want to grow. And sometimes we know we can't stay where we are. We just got to leap. And sometimes the foundation that we're leaping onto is enough to hold us. And sometimes it may not even be enough to hold us, but we're going to go anyway. So that's, so I wanted it to be in the shape of a full circle to know that there is completion and then that there is growth. And sometimes we just got to have the faith to take the steps without knowing exactly how it's going to look.
Yeah. So, and I think that's a beautiful idea and design that you've put in play. And I love the meaning behind it, because that's exactly what life is. We do not know. And I think anticipatory sabotage or anticipatory stress is what holds us back. We need to take that leap. We need to have a little bit of blind faith, if you will. And it's more the certainty that we feel with ourselves and the comfort we feel with ourselves, so that whatever we're doing outside of ourselves, we'll still be okay. We're still going to be okay. And it's going to work, because it's what we want to have happen, even if it's not according to plan, which plans are always, you know, change and blah, blah, blah. We know the best made, right? It's the God laughing joke, you know?
Oh yeah. I was just going to say, like, we think, like, I heard it referred to as, well, are you taking your will back? Like, are you just going to show up in life and take your steps each day to grow? Or are you going to try and control it and be like, no, God, I know. I'm just going to do it this way. And God's like, it's
you can't
really
play
not
poker with God.
No, trust me. I gambled for years and actually wrote an amazing song about that called Gambling. And boy, yeah, it doesn't work.
So, you know.
Oh, I've lived that. I mean, depending on who I'm talking to, I always just say, yeah, that's my 20s, my 30s. And now I can say in my 40s. And then up until like last Tuesday, you know, I'm getting these boundaries, but no, I think I've been on the path of healing for quite a few years now. And it's a journey, without a doubt.
That's it. I love that. So I'm so happy we were here. You were here today and we got to talk about it. And I thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.